This is unbelievable. Danny's joining us in the studio right now.
Hi. How are you?
Danny Cunningham, Cleveland Magazine, 92.3 The Fan. He's joining us right now in the Smart Choice Windows and More Studios. The Cavs got ass last night.
They got crushed.
And Lyme and I were like, hey, no big deal. And we took a slew of calls earlier today going, you guys are full of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I would not have expected. I would have thought that a team that won 34 of its first 40 games would have earned a little bit more.
No, there was plenty of people saying that we are putting our heads in the sand. And we do not. Lima, if I'm lying, I'm flying, brother.
No, I believe that you're saying. I can't believe that's the take.
Yeah,
that is stunning to me from a team that has been so good in so many different facets that really hasn't shown very many weaknesses. Yeah, they had a bad night last night. It was a real bad time to have a bad time, but that's what happened. I wouldn't read that much into it. Like, if you want to find things to be concerned about that go beyond last night, I do think you can, but I don't think that it's time to sound the alarms. Like, they're still one of the best three teams in basketball, clearly.
I pointed out this. I mean, Boston is like 7-7 in their last 14.
Boston is bored.
So they're bored. I certainly don't think the Cavs are bored. I think they've been playing their butts off. And last night was weird because I thought they would control that game because of the advantage without the big man. I wanted to see these two teams match up healthy. The Cavs were healthy. Unfortunately, Oklahoma City wasn't. But I wondered, do you think that seeped into the minds of the Cavs? Like, oh, we're going to have fun. We're going to show the league who we are. It's on national television again. We had that huge edge inside last time. It'll just manifest itself this time.
So what last night kind of felt like to me, and I'm very curious how you feel about this, but when the postseason arrives, and like in the 4-5 matchup, if the 4 seed, and we saw this last year, if the 4 seed wins the first 2 games at home and it goes back to the other city for game 3, that team that's down 0-2, if they're anything worth their salt, they win every time. They come out like a desperate team, and you can't fake that desperation. That's what OKC looked like to me last night. They looked like a desperate team, and since they lost to the Cavs, they've looked like that.
Desperate.
I'm not saying they were, but they were able to manufacture that desperation in a way that the Cavs couldn't last night. And on January 16th, I don't think that's that big of a deal. Like, the Cavs, I think there are some things to be concerned about defensively that they've not played up to their standard on that end of the floor, but they also looked like a team that just had a bad night. They look like a team, honestly, that since they beat OKC a week and a couple days ago, is going through a little bit of a rough patch. And that happens over the course of an 82-game season. It's not that big of a deal. It's one loss. Yeah, they got their butts kicked in a way I didn't think we would see them get their butts kicked this year. But this isn't some referendum on what the rest of the season is going to look like.
Yeah, now you mentioned, you know, there are going to be times during the season where everybody, you know, has struggles. Even when LeBron was here, he would have he would have those bored 3-week stretches.
Right.
Or, my God, sometimes he would just leave the country for a month and we wouldn't know what the hell happened. So in this case, Donovan Mitchell, I went back and looked. It's only been 6 games, but it's been the worst month of basketball he has had this January, dating back to his second year early on in the league. He's averaging 38% from the field. He's averaging 18 points a game. He's not really a distributor either. What do you think's going on with Donovan? Because they've managed his minutes. It's not like he's going to be burnt out like he was the last few years.
Well, I think part of it is Lu Dort, too. Like, in that 6-game sample size, the guy that is...
Lyman brought him up earlier.
Well, I mean, Lu Dort is basically, at this point, I think, built in a lab to defend Donovan Mitchell. If you go look at his numbers career-wise with Lu Dort guarding him, he's like 25 of 87 in his career. It is bad stuff. And the fact that he has faced him twice in those 6 games, I think very much contributes to those numbers being like that, because, you know, you watch him on Tuesday night in Indiana, especially in that first half, he looked awesome. And then he didn't do as much in the second half. If you want to say maybe he didn't play as well or just didn't need to do as much because Evan Mobley was awesome in that third quarter, Darius Garland was awesome in that fourth quarter, I think you can kind of shape that argument whichever way you feel like making the point. But I do think that a big chunk of him having a rough month of January so far is he's played the Thunder twice, and the Thunder are one of the worst teams in the NBA that he's played against. That's been one of the worst matchups for him throughout his career, I should say. Like, if you want to go by shooting percentages, they're the third worst, I think, like in true shooting percentage for his career against a specific team. OKC just gives him nightmares.
Now, what about Boston?
In terms of the matchup for Donovan Mitchell or what they're going through right now? I mean,
We'll get to what they're going through right now, but matchups first for the Cavs.
I think Drew Holiday is a really good defender, but I just don't think he is quite as strong as Lu Dort is when you talk about the matchup on Donovan Mitchell in specific. And, you know, in the game the Cavs lost in Boston, where they were without, I think, four rotation players, didn't play in that game when they went into Boston 15-0 and lost their first game of the year. Donovan played really, really well. That's not something that I find overly concerning. I think that the strength is something Boston doesn't, and I'm just talking physical strength that OKC has with guys that can defend Donovan Mitchell. Boston has length, and Drew Holiday is a really good defender, and Derek White's a really good defender. I think those guys are more suited to give Darius Garland problems than they are to give Donovan Mitchell problems. Because even the, you know, you think to the game the Cavs won against Boston. They won that game because Donovan Mitchell had, what, 20 points in the fourth quarter? That matchup for him specifically, I don't think is nearly as concerning as OKC.
Okay, so what's going on with Boston right now? Because like Jason Tatum was saying, we're going through some bleep right now earlier this week. What is going on with the Celtics?
I think part of it's their board. I think part of it is they're in a rough patch the same way the Cavs are in a rough patch right now. They're not shooting the basketball very well.
We're not bored, are we?
No, we're not bored. Okay. I think the Cavs are just going through a rough patch. And that happens over the course of an 82-game season. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's something to be alarmed about. Again, if you want to find underlying concerns, you can, but I don't think that the season's over because they got their butts kicked last night. Well, I think Boston is not shooting the ball well. I think they're bored because this is a group that not only won a championship last year, but the core of this team has played really deep into the postseason for 6 or 7 years straight now, and them not taking things maybe as seriously as their fans would like in the month of January, I just don't find to be all.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All that big of a deal. And I also think part of it, too, the Cavs' lead over Boston is, what, 6.5 games right now for the first seed? Mm-hmm. I do think the Celtics are a little resigned to, we're going to be in the second seed. We're going to be in a 2-3 matchup against New York. What's the point right now? Because the Cavs have played so well, they're going to win 63, 64 games. I don't think Boston's going to get to that height. I think they're a little resigned that they're not going to be the one seed, so maybe they're not putting forth their best effort in January.
I also want to know, and we were accused of making excuses earlier. Like, again, the calls were not exactly what I thought they were going to be. I thought there would be a little bit more positivity, but you know what? It's Sports Talk Radio. These things happen. Danny Cunningham, by the way, joining us in studio, the Smart Choice Windows and More Studios. Find his Substack, The Inside Shot at Substack. Danny, going back to last night, and I was accused of making excuses because I go, you know, they got to try different things, and this is the time to try different things because, like, Donovan's minutes are down. Mm-hmm. You're trying to do that on purpose. Darius, you have to see what he can do as far as leading you in big stages, and I also have to prepare for something that I don't want to coach to injury, but I have to be prepared for it because sure. Orlando's gone through it. Oklahoma City got a big win last night, obviously, but they're going through it right now. I mean, they're talking about making trades for centers because Hartenstein's calf. I got to be ready to do something if Donovan, God forbid, has a pulled groin. If Darius gets slapped in the face or raked across the eyes or something like that, like something has to happen. So you're going to have to try to do some different things.
Right. And I do think that they've done a good job. And we've seen Donovan Mitchell. I don't want to say take a step back, but take a step to the side almost to allow Darius Garland and Evan Mobley elevate the way that they have. And I think both of those guys should be all-stars. And I think that's kind of been the thing they've done to prepare for that. Now, they, for the most part, like, this is going to sound ironic because last night was the first night they had their entire roster available all season, but they've avoided significant injuries. Like, the things they've had have been minor, with the exception of Max Strus's ankle injury that kept him out for the first 2 months. But other than that, it's been minor stuff that they've been able to work through. And I think that if something happens to Donovan, you should have a ton of faith that Darius Garland can elevate his game even further because of how good he's been this year. I think if something happens to Jared Allen, well, the Cavs have kind of actually been at their best when Evan Mobley has been at the five throughout the season. You would think there wouldn't be too big of a drop off there. They've got tremendous depth, which is a big reason why you mentioned minutes being down for Donovan Mitchell. They can do that because they've got 11 guys that belong in an NBA rotation. And I think that's a big part of how they would handle any injury too.
You know, there's been so much talk, even from the commissioner, about how different the league is right now, how deep it is. We've had six different champions in 6 years, but one formula has remained intact for almost my entire lifetime, which is you got to have one of the best five players in the league to really win a championship. We've had a few anomalies. I told Justin Termini last night that, you know, you got to go back to Chauncey Billups in, what, 2004?
Talking to him last night?
Yeah, yeah. He had me on.
Oh, you were on a show.
Yeah. It was nice of them.
Well, you're just doing everything. You're going out for drinks with Owen without me. Now you're going.
Sold Lima back.
Wow.
So, oh, yeah. They go out for drinks.
Trouble
now.
In Paradise?
Oh, yeah. There's something's getting plotted. So don't think I'm not done.
I can't wait to find out what it is.
Plotting a coup.
Something's going on.
So, Danny, I said, and this, I couldn't find a better way to phrase it. Help me phrase it better. But I was going to ask the question, like, would Donovan Mitchell be the worst, best player on a championship team since 2004? Maybe, you know, people would say, well, Jason Tatum last year. Boston fans have thought Jason Tatum's a top five player.
Right.
In the
I mean,
league.
He's certainly closer to five than he is to one.
Yeah. Donovan's never been a top five player in the league.
No,
it's
I
always
mean,
been, is he in the 10 to 15 range?
I think you can make the case that he's top 10. And when he's been healthy in Cleveland, I do think he's been a top 10 player. Like the first year he was here, he finished, what, sixth in MVP voting. Last year, he was going to be an all-NBA player again, first or second team before the injuries knocked him out of being eligible for that. So I do think that he is inside that top 10. I don't think there's a world where he's inside that top five. But I also think that over the last couple of years, and Boston, I think, is sort of the last of the super teams because with the way that the league is structured financially, it's just going to be really hard to make the trades that they've been able to make. Like, I don't think now they'd be able to make a trade for Jrue Holiday the way they could a couple years ago.
Chance.
I don't know if they could make a trade for Kristaps Porzingis the way they could a few years ago. So I do think that teams are going to be more depth-oriented. And at a certain point, it will get back to needing to have a top-five player. But I think we're going to go through a stretch where you might not need that, where you might not need to have a top-five player. It's going to matter about being able to elevate the team to make it more than just the sum of its parts. And I do think the Cavs are that right now. I will also say, you know, 2 years from now, we might be talking about Evan Mobley as a top five player in basketball. Like, that could be the recipe.
I did not think that was
too
possible a year ago. I think
right
it's on
now,
the table
right,
now. Yeah.
Right, with how good he's been, I think that is something that is, it's far from a guarantee, but you can't rule it out at this point either.
Should he be shooting threes?
Yeah, absolutely. He's shooting 40% on threes.
Okay, I would hope so.
He's been awesome since December. He's taken like four or five a game and shooting 40%. Like, no one wants to turn him. No one should want to turn him into Brook Lopez, where he's taking nine a game. Yeah. But four or five, I think that's a very good spot to be.
I'm sorry, I'm taking everything personally. These are people who called in earlier.
I get it.
I'm sorry about that.
Do people not want him taking threes?
But somebody was very adamant to stop doing it.
That's ridiculous. Like, he's been awesome.
Yeah, I know we got to go. Something to think about, and maybe next time you come on, have your answer. Who is having a better coaching season, Kenny Atkinson or J.B. Bickerstaff?
Kenny Atkinson. Because J.B.
He answered it now.
Yeah, he answered it.
He was supposed to
think about it.
That Detroit team looks a lot like the Cavs the year before Donovan Mitchell arrived. Like, we've seen J.B. do this before. We've not seen Kenny do this before. I expected Detroit to kind of look how they look. They've had a really good month.
We could play him in the first round, could we not?
I think the storylines there would be outstanding.
That'd be awesome.
I'm very excited for the two matchups with Detroit that they have coming up in a couple of weeks. I think it's going to be awesome.
Especially after what George kind of said about JB yesterday. where it's nice to have a coach that isn't, well, he didn't say the nice thing, but it's like, yeah, as long as you're not yelling at the refs, a little bit more calm, not taking as many fouls, and then all of a sudden there was a technical on Kenny Atkinson later in the evening.
Yeah, he's gotten pretty upset with officials in the last couple of weeks in a way that he wasn't earlier in the season.